musos, for leading our worship this morning. And thanks, Michael, for reading the Bible for us as well, too. Well, I hope your dads out there are enjoying yourselves today. It's important, I think, that we raise the profile of fathers and fatherhood in the generation in which we live today. And I just want to say, I love being a father. And I love being a grandfather, too. Have we got that photo there once again there? Yeah, that's right. Let's have another look at it. Good to have a little bit of pink in the family. Ah, dear. I think it's important that society today starts to recognise the very important role that fathers have. I think it's also important that we acknowledge the damage that is done when fathers are absent or where fathers don't accept their responsibilities and carry them out as fathers. I wonder just how many boys there are out there who are resentful and bitter and feel cheated because they haven't had a father or haven't had an effective father. And I wonder how many girls there are out there who struggle with their identity, who struggle with relationships, who struggle to know where they fit because they haven't had a strong father figure in their life, adding balance during those important growing up years. I think that one of the sad things that we find today is that, yes, there are many fathers who don't shape up to their responsibilities, but there are also many fathers out there who don't really know how to function as fathers. And that's very sad as well too. Either they haven't had a decent model to follow in their own life, maybe because the old-fashioned model that they had when they were growing up is no longer regarded as being kosher. It may very well be that they have seen so many fathers who have been made to look idiots and who have been knocked and have been criticised that they're actually scared to even try to be decent fathers for fear that maybe they'll be branded as incompetent as well. I think it's probably fair to say that the definition of what a good father is or what a good father looks like is a very blurred one these days. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the definition of what a good father is. And maybe this is one of the casualties of the feminist movement, I don't know. But sadly, I think because there's so much uncertainty, what often happens is that fathers just opt out. They stop trying. And they pass the buck over to their wives and let them take charge of bringing the children up. Yes, they will provide financially for the support of their children. But when it comes to a hands-on role as a parent, they often go AWOL. They just become passive. And can I just say at the outset of this message this morning that that is never God's intention. That's not the way that it is supposed to be. In fact, if you read the Bible carefully, you'll see that it's the exact opposite. It's fathers are the ones who are meant to have the most active role and carry the greatest responsibility for the raising of their children. Of course, their wives will be there alongside of them and it will give them every support. But at the end of the day, according to God's pattern for parenting, it is the fathers who are meant to be the chief the ones who are ultimately responsible for the carrying out of the parenting responsibility. If we look at the Bible carefully, we'll see that one day it is the fathers who are going to stand before God and give an account for how they have raised their children. And I believe that while the wives and the mothers aren't absolved of that responsibility themselves, that God will hold us men primarily responsible. If that sounds a little bit radical in this day and age, it may very well just mean that we've been brainwashed by the way that the world thinks about these issues. And it's time that we forgot about what the world says and started reading God's manual and had a look to see what he has to say about parenting. Well, what I want to do this morning is I just want to have a closer look at what God says the role of a father ought to be. This won't be a complete treatment of this subject. It's a very, very big subject and it could go on and on for a long time. But I just want to mention six things that I believe come from God's word and apply to fathers who are going to stand up and be the men, lead their families the way that God says they ought to. First thing, and by the way, I call this message, "Will Real Fathers Please Stand Up?" And I think it's time for real fathers to stand up. Number one, real fathers love their children. And I mean when I say that, real fathers genuinely love their children. I think love is a very misunderstood word in our vocabulary, and sometimes it has a bit of a fluffy sort of connotation. But the kind of love that fathers are meant to have for their children is a strong love. It's an active love. And it needs to show itself in action. It means that fathers will very deliberately go out of their way to show and express their love for their children. They make their children feel wanted. They make their children feel special. They make their children feel safe. They work very hard for the interests of their children and their families. They're prepared to put themselves in second or third or fourth place in order that the interests of the family will be looked after first. They affirm their children. They praise their children when they try hard. They're looking for opportunities continually to show their children that they care. A few moments ago when Michael read that passage from Psalm 103, we read these words in verses 13 and 14. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." It's the way that God treats us as our heavenly Father. And we as human fathers are meant to recognize the frailty and the vulnerability and the fragility of our children. And we are to go out of our way to love them and to express that love. You wonder how many children there are who struggle today with things like low self-esteem because they've never had the encouragement or the approval, of a father. Boys who just crave for a dad to go out and do something with them. Little girls who know what mum's all about in her life, but hardly knows a male figure, a strong, fatherly male figure in her life. I wonder if our children know that we love them. You know, they know that we're there. They know that we provide. But do they know that we love them? That they are special to us? Secondly, real fathers or real dads provide for their children. This, of course, is part of love. But it's quite possible for us to be good providers and not really love our kids. God describes himself as a father to the children of Israel. "Israel is my firstborn son." And you see, if you look at the way that God dealt with the children of Israel, how he went out of his way to provide for their needs, to deliver them from slavery in Egypt, to lead them across the Red Sea, to care for them those 40 years while they wandered in the wilderness, to provide day after day manna and quail for them, to provide water out of a rock, to protect them from their enemies, to lead them across the Jordan River into the promised land. God was there providing for them day after day, year after year, showing that he really did care for them as his children. There's a beautiful description in Psalm 145 of the way that God provides. It's verses 15 and 16 in Psalm 145. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. What a beautiful picture of the way that God provides for us. He opens his hand, provides for our needs. Guys, I just want to say this morning that primarily it is our job as husbands and fathers to be the providers for our families. I know, especially in the times in which we live, that sometimes it's difficult for husbands to be able to get work. And fortunately, in some cases there, wives are able to help out. And that's a good thing for our families. But we need to understand as men that it is primarily, where humanly possible, our responsibility as fathers to be the providers for our family. It's not good enough for us to sit back and say, well, she can earn a good wage, I'll send her out to work. Real dads provide for their children. Real dads lead their children. Leadership, the word leadership. Again, this is an area of family life which is a bit blurred these days. But leadership, guys, means making decisions. Leadership means taking control in difficult situations. Leadership means taking the initiative to ensure that things at home are running smoothly. I think that there are a lot of us dads, and I include myself here, who struggle when it comes to taking initiative. We are reactors rather than pace setters. And if we read Scripture carefully, we'll see that it is our responsibilities to be leaders, to take the initiative in making things happen in our families. It is our responsibility to know what's going on at the family level, to know what's going on in our children's lives. What about the quality of relationships in our families? You see, we have to get involved at that level. We need to know what the big issues are, and maybe the problems are that are happening in the family, so that we can do something about them. We need to know how our kids are travelling. We need to be, at times, I think, setting goals and targets for our family. Sounds a bit businesslike, doesn't it? But I don't intend it to be like that. But I do think that there are times when we need to be on the front foot a lot more than what we are. We also need to know what's happening spiritually within the family as well, too. And I think that what happens so often is that we become so caught up in our work and so busy with life in general that we abdicate our responsibilities as leaders and we pass them over to our wives. If the Bible tells us that we're to be leaders in our marriages, it also tells us to be leaders in our families and, of course, leaders in the church as well too. You know, I think that there are many wives and maybe some wives sitting here today who are longing for their husbands to show more leadership in their families. And maybe it's time for some husbands to sit down with their wives and have a straight talk about these things. Discuss them together. Work out how they can do things a little bit differently. I think that if wives, rather than nagging and criticising their husbands, were to encourage them at that level, it may very well pay a great dividend in family life. Real dads lead their children. Number four, real dads discipline their children. Well, This flows on from leadership, because the fact of the matter is that our children often will not comply, or not to our satisfaction, with the lead that we try to give within the family. And if that's the case, well, we have to assert our leadership, and that means being prepared to discipline our children. I think we need to make it perfectly clear that if we're disciplining in the correct way, that discipline should be seen as an expression of love. If your children out here listening, take note, all right? Because if your dad has to discipline you, it means that he cares about you. It means that he loves you. I'm not talking about the old-fashioned thrashings often done out of anger. That's child abuse, all right? But discipline, the way that the Bible talks about discipline, is a loving thing. It means that fathers care when they discipline their children. In Hebrews chapter 12, that great passage which talks about God disciplining us, this is what it says. This is Hebrews 12 from verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, well, I hope they do, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Notice what that passage is saying there, is discipline is ultimately for our good. And if fathers don't discipline their children, it really means that they don't care about how their children are going to turn out. He, in effect, is saying you're treating your children as illegitimate if you won't discipline them. And so discipline, while it's hard work, is a loving thing to do. And we haven't got time this morning to go into some of the details and methods of how that discipline should work out. We'll talk about this, by the way, in one of the sessions during the parenting course that's coming up next month. You can come along there and find out a little bit more if you're interested. But fathers, we need to be up to the challenge of disciplining our children. When our children are disobedient, when they challenge our authority, when they give us cheek, those sorts of things, it is our responsibility to stand up and to draw the line and say, you've crossed it, and this is what's going to happen. And it's not good enough for fathers to say, oh, I'm too tired, I just don't have the energy, I couldn't be bothered, and to walk into another room and stick on a TV set or do something at the computer. That is abdicating our responsibility towards our children. That's letting our children down. That's an unloving thing to do. We need to step up. Number five, real dads teach and train their children spiritually. There's a bit of a trendy tendency these days for a lot of parents to deliberately not try to instill values into their children. I'm not saying necessarily for Christian parents, but in the world generally, there is this this common perception that's out there that we need to allow children to work things out for themselves. Let them make up their own minds about how they want to live, where they want to draw the moral boundaries, what they want to believe about God, and so on. You know, when you think about it, that's such a crazy thing. We provide nice homes for our families. We send our kids to good schools so they can get a good education. We provide very good physical care for them, and yet we don't teach them why they're here, or what the purpose of life is, or where they came from, or how they should and shouldn't live. We just say to them, well, you go and work it out for yourself. If you say that to your children, you are really asking for disaster in the lives of those children. And I believe that's what we're seeing more and more today when we look around us. Kids who have never had anybody teach them right from wrong, good from evil, let alone teach them anything about God. And we're seeing the fruits of that in society. Young people aren't born with a moral compass. In fact, the only moral compass they're born with is one which teaches them to be selfish and to reject God. They won't automatically go the right way. And this is where good parenting comes in. It is our job to teach our children about God. It's our job to teach our children that they didn't come from a random interaction between two cells which happened to come from somewhere, who knows where. That they are created in the image of God. That there is a God who loves them. There is a God who sets moral boundaries in his word. If we don't teach those things to our children, well, they'll learn them from somewhere else. And you know where they'll learn them from? They'll learn them from other kids. Or they'll learn them from the movies. Or they'll learn them from the internet. Or they'll learn them from some messed up university lecturer. And it's sad. We need to be under no illusions, friends, that the world we live in today is not morally neutral. It is infusing a value system and a belief system into our children's lives. And we have to counter that by consciously training and teaching our children the right way that they should go. If children grow up in some free-thinking environment where there's no godly direction given, they will inevitably go the wrong way. What does it say to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That verse doesn't say mothers do this, although it'd be a good thing if mothers do support their husbands in doing this. All right. But primarily, the directive is to the fathers. Fathers, bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. It is our job. We are ultimately responsible here. And we need to teach our children. We need to deliberately teach our children about God. We need to deliberately teach our children about Jesus, about the one who died on the cross that we might have our sins forgiven. We need to teach our children that if we receive Jesus Christ, that we can become children of God and know the greatest Father of all. We can be a part of his family. We can call him Abba, Father. It is our job to teach our children about that Heavenly Father. It is our job to teach our children basic values, things like honesty and kindness and generosity and thankfulness and humility and courage. We need to teach our children that the Bible contains the truth about life. We need to teach our children about adversity and how to cope with adversity as well as with success. We have to teach our children about how relationships work and impart to them basic life skills that are going to prepare them to grow to maturity. We need to teach boys to be men. We need to teach girls, to be women. As I list off that stuff there, it seems like a huge responsibility. And it is a big responsibility. But just remember this. We're not talking here about a couple of weeks. We're talking about a 20-year project. And it's something which we need to be up for. You might say this morning, well, my child is 15. I've kind of missed the boat on some of this. Well, it's still not too late. You've still got 5 years or thereabouts. All right? If the children are younger, well, you need to take some of this stuff on board and start applying it because it's so important. I think the other thing that we need to say is that most of the time, the sort of training that we're talking about here happens in the course of normal daily life. We're not talking about sitting the children down here for an hour each week and giving them the lecture. We're talking about the conversation that happens around the meal table. We're talking about just lazing about, maybe lying in bed together and just chatting about life. We're talking about sitting down when kids come home from school in the afternoon and they're having their afternoon tea and they're just relaxing and you're just chatting about anything and stuff that's arisen during the course of the day at school. And a little teaching moment will arise and you're able to give your version and explain why you wouldn't have done things that way or why your view is different from the kid who they've been talking to in the schoolyard. You're on a long drive somewhere. Talk to your kids. Take those opportunities. Don't just switch the music on. See, be alert. And I think as a parent who's tuned into your kids, you'll know when those moments come. And they're precious moments. And they're wonderful teaching moments. Take them. Don't pass them up. And I think it's so important that as Christian parents that we share our hearts with our kids and we help people see our view of life and our understanding of God and of truth. And then finally, real dads model this life before their children. As fathers, whether we like it or not, we are being watched by our children. You know, there's very little that you can hide from your kids. They get to see up close and personal what we're really like. The question is, how do they weigh up what they are seeing? Is the impact of our lives having a positive effect on them or a negative one? Are we a good model for them to follow or are we a bad one? Are they attracted to what they see in us or are they repelled by it? I think I've shared before that my father's father was a terrible example for my dad during his growing up years. And he used to fear, even as a teenager, that he would turn out like his dad. When he was 17, he became a Christian and it changed his life completely, radically. And I'm thankful to say that my father was a very, very good model for me to follow. And I praise God for him. When our kids look at us, what do they learn about how a man should treat a woman? You see, they see the way that we interact with our wives. What are they learning when they see that sort of thing? What are they learning about character? What are they learning about relationships? When they hear us knocking and criticizing our neighbors or the boss or the teachers or maybe people at church, what are they learning? Because you see, they're listening, they're hearing. What do they learn about the attitude that we should have to work or to money or to material things by watching us? What are they learning about God and about how to live the Christian life? About things like forgiveness and humility and compassion and prayer. What sort of disciple of Christ are we? Because you see, if they're going to become disciples of Christ, they want somebody to model themselves on. As with so much of parenting, it's less about what we say and it's more about who we are and what we do. And that's where kids get a front row seat in all of this, and we just have to be very careful. I'm not suggesting this morning that we should fake it. because that's even worse. And as kids get older, they can see right through hypocrisy. We've got to be genuine. If we're going to teach these kids, we need to be living these things ourselves. And so the modelling is such an important thing. Well, I don't think society today really knows quite what to make of fatherhood. You know, you read usually humorous little articles and things like that in some of the magazines and that. And, you know, by and large, I think writers on the subject of family life these days don't do a particularly good job when it comes to fatherhood. They avoid the real issues. But I believe that as Christians, we need to heed what God's manual on family life actually has to say. And I want to encourage you, fathers, today to step up and to take fully the responsibility that God gives you to be leaders in your families. Children today are crying out for better fathers. That's if they have a father at all. They're crying out for better fathers. And I want to say it is not the easiest job in the world. It's much easier to create a child than to bring a child up, believe me. And not one of us is perfect. We need to acknowledge that up front as well too. And wives, I think, could I just plead for a little bit of generosity of spirit in this regard at times? Because sometimes, you know, and the wives are in there working hard as well too, but sometimes, you know, they don't make enough allowance for the deficiencies in their husband's skill set as fathers. But I think it's important that, like all things in the Christian life, we are not meant to live out these truths on our own. We need to understand that God provides for us the Holy Spirit to help us, to enable us to be better men ourselves, but then to be able to be better fathers in the way that we live out these truths that we've been talking about this morning. If we're being lazy as fathers, well, I think it's important that we acknowledge that we repent of that. We ask God to forgive us and to help us to man up and not just to turn a deaf ear or a blind eye. If we're still learning these things or we're trying very hard, can I just encourage you to keep persisting? Don't give up. There are times when you feel like giving up. Keep on going. Keep on fronting up. Even if you are imperfect, keep on doing your best there and ask God to help you in the process. If today you're sitting here and you're just feeling overwhelmed, you know, maybe I've dumped a huge load of guilt on you and you're sort of saying, look, I've just been a failure and I just, you know, I'm just going to go away and hide and forget that I heard anything here in church this morning. Can I say, draw a line today. Agree to make some changes today. That might be the only response that you can make right here and now. I'm going to try and do things a little bit differently, but where you go from here, well, I think it's good for you to pray about it and ask God to help you to be able to make some honest assessments of how things are going and where things are at in your family. Maybe agree today that you will sit down with your wife at some stage and have a bit of a chat about these things. Be honest. Maybe today you will agree to look at some of these passages a bit more carefully and ask God to help you to understand them, work through them better. Maybe get a decent book. There are a few out there, some better than others, on the subject of parenting and the role of fathers in families. Maybe you could agree to come to the parenting course next month. Who knows? Put in a little plug for that. But God today, I think, is challenging men to step up and to take the responsibilities that God gives them as the heads of their families. But in conclusion, think the most important thing that we can understand about this whole subject of parenting is that there is only one perfect Father. And that is God, our Father, the Heavenly Father. His love is never in question. Agree? His love is never in question. His care for us is total, absolutely faithful. He knows how to discipline us for our good through the challenges and the struggles and the sufferings of life. His word to us is absolutely true and trustworthy. Right, this is the Father that God wants us to experience. And we come to that, of course, through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This Father that we're talking about is the Father to the fatherless, I think he's described in Psalm 68. It could be that there's somebody sitting here this morning who said, I have never known the kind of father that we've been talking about this morning. Either you didn't have a father, or else the father you had was so inept or so absent that you never experienced. Well, there is a God who loves the fatherless. He's a father to the fatherless. He never lets people down. And of course, we can never be fathers like that. But by God's grace and with God's help, we can point our children to that perfect Father. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the greatest responsibility that we have as human fathers is to point our children to that Father. And it's also the greatest privilege that we have to be able to share that Father with our kids. Let's pray.